Good morning, Steve. Thanks for joining me.
Glad to be here.
So tell us what it's been like. You've been traveling around the country talking to all sorts of voters. Is this election totally different from any other one you've covered?
It is more intense than others that I have covered. Every single presidential election, someone says, this is the most vital election of our lifetimes. The future of our country is at stake. But they say it this time as though they mean it. And you have people on both sides who see the country in one fashion or another in danger and feel that their vote will make a difference there, and that intensity is greater.
How do you handle that as a reporter? Do you report on it differently?
You know, I don't think so. There's been a lot of debate in the media about whether Donald Trump particularly challenges our standards and so forth. He, as fact checkers have found, he's a guy who says a lot of things that don't turn out to be true. And how do we deal with that as journalists? And Hillary Clinton is someone who also has been found by fact checkers from time to time to say things that are not true. And so how do we deal with that as journalists? I think the way we deal with that is by listening to everybody's perspective and then checking the facts. And this is a thing we should always do. And there's something else that I think it's very important to do that we have been doing in Cincinnati and in a number of other states for this project we call Divided States, which is to listen to everybody. That doesn't mean that anybody gets to make up facts, but people have different perspectives. People have wildly different perspectives, and they might live a mile from each other or even next door to each other, and they see the world completely differently. And one of the really important things that's been revealed in this election is the extent to which large numbers of Americans are not at all on the same page about the basic reality of this country. Which way is the country going? Is it getting better? Is it getting worse? What do we think about the huge demographic changes in this country? How do we feel about the economy and whether it's lifting everyone or only a few people? There are so many different views of that, and I think it's vital for us to listen, especially to the people with whom we may disagree, and understand where they're coming from, and understand their perspective, and understand whether there are some facts that they're trying to get out there that are worth paying attention to.
You mentioned the economy, and when Bill Clinton ran for president, you know, the famous sign, it's the economy, stupid,
yeah.
Or pay attention to the economy. Do you think that's the driving force this election, or is it more than that?
I'm not absolutely certain that it is. David Wessel of the Wall Street Journal and the Brookings Institution, a frequent guest in our program, pointed out that while there is a lot of economic difficulty in this country, and while there is a subset of workers who've been unemployed for a very long time, underemployed for a very long time, still underwater in their mortgages since the financial crisis, we are in a period where wages, after being stagnant for decades, are finally starting to rise. There are a lot of people who are doing better, just not everybody. So the economy is part of it, but maybe not the whole thing. David Wessel was pointing out that when you look at the numbers, it's hard to say that it's the economy alone that's driving the unhappiness that we see expressed in this election. He suggests that there is something else. Now, what is the something else? That is up for debate. But when I interview voters, I hear anxiety about the future of the country, anxiety about the demographic change that is shaping the country, anxiety about immigration, illegal immigration, about the rule of law, about who's in control, people who feel safe or unsafe. And you hear different, wildly different often, perspectives on that. You speak with white voters who feel that they are in certain ways almost oppressed in this country where white people are still a majority, but they feel they can't say what they want to say. They feel like the country is slipping away from them. This is the very same country where African Americans are more and more vocal about police shootings of black men on the streets and who feel in their way to have been marginalized and oppressed. And so how do you square those two realities? That is a really large part of what is being expressed in this election. Now, I want to say one other thing, Marianne. A lot of people have been horrified by this election. Wherever you are on the political spectrum, people say, hey, couldn't we have gotten better candidates? Why is it so ugly? Why is it so awful? I would like to suggest that there is something valuable going on. Wherever you are in the political spectrum, we're finding out what America thinks. We're finding out what America really thinks. And we're all being challenged to make decisions as part of our democracy about where we want that democracy to go. And as some have suggested, maybe how long we want it to last in this form. And So a lot is at stake, and it could be a very positive thing that all of these concerns have been surfaced and addressed in such a direct way.
Just in a few seconds that we have wrapping up, do you think that this election will change all elections going forward?
I can't. I hate to report on the future. I hate to report on the future. I have no idea, except that I've researched a lot of history and past presidential elections, and they do grow on each other. We are often reflecting the past, even when we don't realize it.
Thank you so much.
Glad to come by.